Second case today is United States v. Osburn. Appellant ready to argue?
Yes, Your Honor.
Government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Appellant may argue.
Good morning, Chief Justice Stuckey and members of the court. May it please the court, I am Captain Alexander Navarro, and along with my co-counsel, Major Amanda Dermody, we represent the appellant in this case, Airman First Class Jacob Osburn. Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'd ask for 4 minutes for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you. The conviction for attempted receipt of child pornography is legally insufficient because there is not sufficient evidence that Airman Osburn was seeking images that meet the specific definition of child pornography. Airman Osburn asked the decoys for, quote, naked pictures. However, in the messages, that's the only direction and the only language that you see about the kind of images that he's seeking. As the Supreme Court articulated in Ferber, and as this court reiterated in Moon, mere nudity alone is protected by the First Amendment. And furthermore, in this case, when he was attempting to receive child pornography, or that was the charge at issue, the government had to prove not only naked pictures, however, that the naked pictures also included a display of the genitals or pubic region, and that the display was lascivious. In addition, because of the way they charged it, it had to be obscene as well. And so it's a multi-layer analysis for any case involving child pornography. And in this case, the only language and the only direction that was included was the word naked for his requests.
Okay, this is all, well, he got one picture, didn't he, of one girl clothed?
Yes, Your Honor, that was of Jody.
Jody. Or
the DK.
Yeah, I mean, somebody purporting to be Jody.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, and that's all he got.
Yes, Your Honor.
So we're really talking about a pile of hypotheticals, aren't we? Because, as you point out, child pornography is pretty precisely defined in statute. And he's asking for naked pictures. If you draw a Venn diagram, here's naked pictures. Here's obscene naked pictures, lascivious naked pictures, and here's child pornography. So what are we to make of this? I mean, obviously your argument is that it's simply, what he's asking for is a universe that could include child pornography, but is substantially larger. You know, I mean, if you it's a piece of Baroque art and there are pootie floating around in the air, and of course, by convention, they're always nude. What have you? I don't know. Where are we in all this?
Yes, Your Honor, and the only evidence we have is he asked for naked pictures. Beyond that, he doesn't narrow the scope about what kind of naked pictures he's asking for.
Well, he engaged in some pretty highly charged sexual talk with these purported girls. And you get the feeling that he sure would have liked to have gotten something answering the category of child pornography. But what he got was something entirely different. So.
Yes, Your Honor, and had these been real minors, there is a possibility that one could speculate that he would have received material that could perhaps be child pornography. However, in the images that he was seeking, it's also possible that he would have received something that didn't meet child pornography.
Well, say he had received child pornography. Say one of these gals was really a 14-year-old, and she sent him something that was a lascivious image. Is that enough? He's asking for a big universe, and he's getting a small part of that universe. I suppose one intends the reasonable consequence of one's acts and the reasonable consequence of talking to some girl in a highly charged sexual atmosphere is that you might get a pornographic picture.
Yes, Your Honor.
In other words, what I'm really saying is if you know, he opens the mail and there's this thing, and that shows how old I am, that sending it in the mail. But anyway, can he therefore, would that suffice?
Your Honor.
Would that make it legally sufficient?
Perhaps, Your Honor.
Okay.
We could, but in this case, we don't have any of that.
We don't have any of that.
By counsel, he was charged with attempt.
Yeah.
So we've got a situation here where the question is, and I don't mean to be argumentative, but to what extent can we use common sense? We've got an individual who has engaged in extremely graphic discussions about having sexual intercourse with three different people that he believes are young girls, prepubescent girls. He is not asking for merely a selfie or asking for a photo of them even in bra and panties or swimwear or even a topless photo. He's asking for naked photos. So when we're looking at this from the aspect of legal sufficiency and we're looking at it through the prism of an attempt charge, why should we overturn the conviction here?
Your Honor, because beyond the request for naked pictures, he doesn't narrow it down to the very specific definition of child pornography. It is entirely possible that the pictures he was seeking, perhaps a picture of the breasts or some scantily clad type photo, would not meet the definition.
But we have to look at the evidence in light most favorable to the government here. He's asking for naked photos. He is talking about in the context of him trading, that's the word, the verb that was used, trade photos, where he is offering to send her a image of his penis. Why shouldn't we look at this as something of full frontal nudity?
Your Honor, if we had some other type of evidence to accompany that request for naked pictures to show that he wanted this specific material, this precise material of child pornography, however, in this case, we don't have anything like that. With regard to the sexual conversations, those sexual conversations, in the context of the messages, don't have a relationship with his actual request for naked pictures. If this court had something where he had provided some type of direction about a vantage point or the kinds of pictures he was seeking, perhaps, you know, wear this or don't wear that. But in this case, we have nothing. You know, we cite some of the lower courts where at least these are examples of a request for naked pictures or nude pictures. There's always something else accompanying those requests, perhaps actually sending a video of masturbation or something that sexually graphic. But in this case, we don't have that. The only photo that Airman Osborne actually sent was a picture of himself clothed. If we had perhaps a search of his hard drive and there was actually child pornography, perhaps we could show, hey, that's what he was seeking. But we don't have that in this case.
Do the DOS factors apply in a case where there are no factors, I mean, no images to be looked at?
Your Honor, as the Air Force Court conceded, they're of limited utility when there's not an actual image. However, it actually highlights why this conviction is not legally sufficient in that if you're looking at the DOS factors, in addition to the totality of the circumstances, there's so much that goes into whether a picture of a naked minor is actually child pornography, where some people, if they look at a picture of a naked child, may perhaps in a common sense kind of way say, that has to be child pornography.
But that's my point. If the DOS factors can't really be used when there are no images to check whether the six factors are met, or it's not required that all six be met, but going through that checklist, then why do we have to keep on using that as the touchback, saying, okay, are these DOS factors met as compared to looking at reasonable inferences based on the evidence in the light most favorable to the government about, importantly, an attempt to get photos that are lascivious where he has made it extremely clear that he is intending very soon to have sexual intercourse with these prepubescent girls.
Your Honor, the way that the DOS factors perhaps could be used is, or the reason why we keep touching back to them, is just that in those factors, perhaps if Airman Osborne had provided some direction about a vantage point or type of pose or something that would make the photo lascivious that he was seeking, that would give more to this court to say that he was actually seeking child pornography. However, we don't have any of that. Instead, we just have this vague request for a naked picture, and that's all we have. And
well, you know, there's more here. He's asking for naked pictures in the context of not one but three conversations with purported children, children for the purposes of this inquiry, purported children, during which he discusses his male equipment, and obviously is looking for sex. I mean, you know, I think that the purpose of this inquiry, his inquiry, wasn't to collect photos. It was sex. And given that, isn't that enough on top of, you know, like some of the other cases? I mean, there's not as much here as there is in some of the other cases where they, you know, show their anatomy and all kinds of other things. But isn't that that's more than nothing, and if you look at it in the light most favorable to the government, isn't that enough?
So it wouldn't be enough, Your Honor, because getting into his mind, looking at the kind of pictures he was seeking, we still have to have some evidence of the kind of images he was seeking. And in this case, the only time we really get into his mind are there's some evidence that he was trying to verify that they were real people. So that was one of the purposes, certainly not the sole purpose of asking for naked pictures.
His mistake.
But the other thing he was seeking is, you know, when he asked for the naked pictures, after they immediately said no, he said, well, then any picture or a picture of the peace sign. That's the only thing that we can actually point to and get in his mind about the type of images he was seeking. His desire to have sex with them, or the language that he communicated about that, in the context of the messages, doesn't have any type of relationship to when he asked for the naked pictures. It doesn't provide any type of direction to these decoys about what kind of picture he expects from them. So if this court doesn't have that evidence, then it wouldn't be enough, Your Honor.
Now, let's say for the sake of argument that the DOS factors are not helpful, that we don't apply them. We still need to determine whether he was attempting to obtain images that were lascivious. Is that objective or subjective? When we're talking about objective, we think of the reasonable person standard. An infinitesimal percentage of people would be their lust would be intended to be excited by pictures of the prepubescent girls. So that would seem to narrow greatly what images would meet the standard of lasciviousness. On the flip side, if we look at it from the perspective of a pedophile of the nature of the individual, subjectively, then it seems as if we could also have images from a medical school textbook incite lust in him. So what is the standard? Are we looking at this objectively or subjectively?
Your Honor, it would be objectively, and the reason why is because his subjective gratification for these images can only help so much because, I think this court said in Moon something to the effect of, you know, just because it's someone's quirks or gratifies their sexual desire doesn't remove it from, or doesn't necessarily place it into child pornography territory. And so just because it gratified, you know, Airman Osborne, his subjective thoughts on the matter, doesn't make it child pornography. He could have been certainly satisfied with a photo of just the breast, for example. And that wouldn't be child pornography, or a picture of a bikini or something like that, that may be distasteful but wouldn't be child pornography. So it's more important to look at the objective standards of what is child pornography. Now, as far as the direction that he provides, if you look at each of the messages with each of the decoys, particularly when he offers to send a picture of his part, even in those messages, he doesn't ask for a picture of their parts, or imply that this quid pro quo is expecting a picture of their genitals or anything that would meet child pornography either. I see my time is concluding. If there are no questions.
I'll ask a question when you come back on rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
My question has to do with a case called United States v. Payne.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
Good morning, Chief Justice Suki, members of the court, may it please the court. I am Captain Alex Coberly, and along with Ms. Mary Ellen Payne, we represent the United States in this matter. Appellant stands lawfully convicted of attempting to receive child pornography. A rational finder of fact heard that he sought out and found three individuals he believed to be girls between the ages of 12 and 13. On finding these girls, he initiated and continued highly sexually explicit and graphic conversations about sex. These included his descriptions to them about how girls their age were having sex with adults. It included descriptions about how he wanted to have sex with them very specifically, and to include plans to meet them at motels and their mother's house. And then, most importantly, for the legal sufficiency of this case, the facts and evidence showed that he described to these girls what in his mind he believed it meant to have sex. It meant being naked. It meant involving kissing and licking of their vaginas. It meant putting his penis into their vagina. We're looking at an attempt offense, as Judge Olson noted. What we're concerned about is the subjective, specific intent of the accused, the appellant in this case.
Okay. So I'll do the same thing I did with the appellant. He's asking for nude pictures. Nude pictures in and of themselves aren't child pornography. There's a small category of nude pictures that are child pornography. There probably are some un-nude pictures that constitute child pornography, if you want to go that way. But we'll grant that most child pornography probably involves nudity. So where's that leave us? He got one picture of a fully clothed person, or some girl purporting to be the girl, and that's all he got. And isn't this a case where you already had him? You overcharged this thing, and now we're yapping about something back in the charge sheet. Well, you know, where are we here?
Your Honor, with regards to the charging, child pornography and lewd acts, the two things he was convicted of, protect two different public interests, one being communicating with children.
Well, I'm fully aware of that.
So,
how do you answer the point made by the appellant that is, he never asked for child pornography, and any child pornography he may have gotten, which he didn't get, is totally fortuitous.
Your Honor, what is
given the universe of pictures and, you know, that he asked for?
Your Honor, the question for this court is whether a rational fact finder could have looked at the messages and the words that he used to determine when he said, send me naked pictures, did he specifically intend to receive child pornography in response? Whether or not the likelihood of that would have been high, or whether or not he would even receive something that would constitute
Whether he had the specific intent.
Correct,
and,
Your Honor.
And I don't know whether you, I don't know what you can get from this record.
Your Honor, what we can get from this record is a rational fact finder found him guilty, and it did so after hearing the evidence of how.
Well, that's the, that, every legal sufficiency case we get is that fact situation. A rational, presumably rational fact find, or the case wouldn't be here. Yeah, and we know that the standard is low. So, but he didn't ask for porn. He didn't get porn. So where does that leave us?
Your Honor, there is no rule, nor should there be a rule, that a individual must specifically request some type of picture or that he may must specifically request child pornography. The issue is, and the importance of that is, when you think about it, there's a spectrum of behavior that is all the same criminality. Some people are explicit in demanding. Some individuals might be more subtle in grooming. But their specific intent, what they're looking for, is the exact same thing. They have exhibited the same criminal mindset to receive child pornography. They're just simply expressing it in different ways. So there's nothing irrational about a fact finder reading the messages that appellant sent in this case and determining that when he said, send me naked photos, in his mind, he intended to receive images that constituted a lascivious display of the genitals.
Let's say that we have a more typical fact pattern than that presented here. We often see instances where law enforcement will go on Craigslist or something similar and indicate that they're underage, that they're on military base, home alone, and waiting to see whether any military will be interested in reaching out to them and then from there seeing what progresses. What if the individual, the accused, without going through the explicit nature of the texts that were exchanged here, asks for naked photos of the person that they believe is a 12-year-old girl? Do we have an attempt there?
Your Honor, I think that under those facts alone, an isolated send me naked pictures photo would be a more difficult case. But that is exactly why one of the conclusions for this court is that specific intent is viewed under the totality of the circumstances. So you have to look beyond the single message that's requesting naked photos. There shouldn't be a bright line rule that there should be, you know, some talismanic language that must be used in order for it to constitute specific intent. So, Your Honor, to use your example, you know, the question would be under the totality of the circumstances whether a rational fact finder could look at the other communications to the extent that there are any at all to determine what was in that individual's mind when they took the substantial step to say, send me naked pictures. So, yes, in isolation, that would be a much more difficult case, but that's not the question this court has to decide. This court has to decide whether, in this case, in the light most favorable to the government, drawing all reasonable inferences in favor of the government, whether a rational fact finder on these facts could find that the element of specific intent had been proved beyond a reasonable doubt. And the substance that we have here very clearly proves that due to some of the facts that have been mentioned already. The number of individuals, a short condensed 48-hour period, three different people, substantially the same messages going back and forth between them, messages first introducing where he, the appellant, took the affirmative step.
Captain Cogley, before you, I don't want to take up too much of your time. In this case, wouldn't the members have been given an instruction on intent when the military judge gave them the elements of the offense?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And it's been a long time since I read one, but I think the issue of intent, whether it's a case like this or any other case, is determined by the facts and circumstances. Isn't that true?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you really wouldn't need something from the accused explicitly asking for a specific kind of photograph, it seems to me. Is that the government's position as well?
Correct, Your Honor. That is the government's position, that there need be no distinction between, you know, generic requests versus specific requests. We're looking to what the direct and circumstantial evidence tells us about that particular individual's in that situation, what their mindset was when they took the substantial step to ask for child pornography.
Let me ask you another question about the lower court's dissent. In the dissent down below, the appellate judge there was not satisfied that there was enough to make the logical leap, I think is how he put it, and that what the majority was doing was simply speculating. That's a far cry from where the government is at this point. How do you answer good old Judge Keyes down at the CCA?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, part of Judge Keyes' analysis is also to make a factual sufficiency determination, and he personally was not convinced. However, under a legal sufficiency, the question is whether any rational finder of fact could determine that the appellant had the requisite specific intent. And looking to the texts themselves, it is rational for a fact finder to conclude that when the appellant says something to the effect that he would lick their genitals or kiss their genitals and put his part into their part, coinciding with requests to send me naked pictures, it is rational for a fact finder to determine that he had the requisite specific intent, because when he requested those photos, he was intending that they would elicit a sexual response. And I think it's important in this case in particular to look at the fact that there are no other context or mitigating factors that you know, the appellant could have been thinking of something else. They weren't talking about medicine or science or sexual education or anything like that. These conversations started and ended with him intending to have sex with minor girls.
Counsel, you put a lot of emphasis on the context. What if he had just said, send me pictures? We had the exact same context, and he said, send me pictures, without the word naked in it. Would the evidence be legally sufficient to find him guilty of attempting to obtain child pornography?
Your Honor, I think a rational fact finder could look at these messages, and I'll give an example. To answer your question, yes. I think with just send me pictures, if you put it in the context where it is here, where he says something to the effect of, he describes where the vagina is, that it gets wet during intercourse, and that he will stick his part into her, and then simultaneously, as he does here, says, send me pictures. I don't know that it would be irrational for a fact finder to determine that is, you know, he was intending to specifically receive child pornography in response to that.
What if he had had all that same context, but he didn't even say, send me pictures? Maybe the conversation got interrupted. Could a rational fact finder say, well, he was setting the stage for it. He just didn't ask yet. Could he still be legally sufficient? The reason I ask these questions is I'm just trying to figure out how much weight do we have to put on what he actually said when he asked for the pictures. He didn't say, send me pictures showing whatever the definition of child pornography would be. He said, send me naked pictures, but you said he doesn't even have to say naked. What if he doesn't even say, send me pictures?
Your Honor, I think then we run into, you know, the question for the fact finder as to whether or not there was specific intent and a substantial.
Well, if they found him guilty, would it be legally sufficient based on just that evidence?
I think, Your Honor, in that set of circumstances, you may have a more difficult argument as to substantial step, which is another portion of an attempt charge.
Why wouldn't all the banter back and forth and the text messages be the substantial step?
And, Your Honor, I mean, not to pivot both ways, but that sort of highlights the importance of this, why we can't draw bright-line rules in this case. It's going to be a case-by-case basis. And the question for this court is whether or not a rational fact finder on these facts alone could determine that he had, that the government had proved all the elements of the case. So I think that again, to your point, Your Honor, you know, there are numerous iterations that we could go through as to how, you know, how an individual who is seeking to have sex with young girls and seeking to receive photographs, which would constitute a receipt of child pornography, how they're going to approach these under very different circumstances. They're going to use different facts, which is why this court can't step away from how it views an attempt under the totality of the circumstances.
So based on your repartee there with Judge Maggs, I'm just a little bit concerned about the message to the field, what they should take from whatever opinion we write here. If, for the sake of argument, we were to write an opinion that agrees with the government, I just want to make sure you're not saying that we should come up with anything where we're plowing new ground, coming up with any broad-based holding. You're saying we should ground our opinion in this case squarely on the typical legal sufficiency principles, and that military judges or the parties in courts martial going forward should not read anything else into this opinion other than typical legal sufficiency analysis.
Your Honor, I think the message to the field that is sort of unclear when you look at some of the service courts is that exactly that this is an attempt case, and the opinion you write in this case will have impacts outside of the context of child pornography. The point being is that attempted receipt of child pornography, like any other attempt offense, when we're looking at specific intent, the determination is made under the totality of the circumstances. And so, no, Your Honor, I do not think you can write some or plow new ground to say, you know, these are the requisite words that must be used in this attempt context. That's not appropriate, not only in this case, but in any case, when the reality is this court has ruled and held that specific intent is viewed under the totality of the circumstances, and an attempt case like this is no different than any other attempt case in where we're trying to determine what the specific intent of the individual is.
Based on your response to the question about if there was merely a request for an image, a photo of the individual, going back to the question I asked of Kevin Navarro, are we, when we're looking at lasciviousness, are we using an objective standard or subjective standard? It was explained from the appellant's viewpoint that it would be objective. You seem to be taking the viewpoint that it's subjective. And I'm wondering what your argument would be along those lines. It doesn't seem as if the federal circuits would agree with that analysis. They seem to take the objective standard.
Well, I think we're talking about, my understanding, Your Honor, is we're talking about two different things. We're talking about the appellant's subjective intent, which is the portion of the attempt offense itself. But what constitutes child pornography is not within the eye of the beholder, not within the appellant's subjective intent. But what's important here is that the fact finder in this case was instructed on what it means to be lascivious. And certainly many of appellant's arguments would be good closing arguments, but from a legal sufficiency perspective, that fact finder was instructed on the difference between child pornography and things that are not child pornography. They were given the definition of lascivious, and they looked at the facts and circumstances of this case and determined, based on appellant's words and actions, that what he intended, he requested, what he intended was child pornography.
So, from the government's position, should we be applying the DOST factors in a scenario like this where we don't have images?
Your Honor, in this particular instance, the military judge did instruct the members on the DOST factors. And so the DOST factors are relevant to the extent, as we mentioned in our brief, to the extent that they provide a workable meaning of what lascivious is. And so you can look what a rational fact finder may have done in this case. We mentioned two of the DOST factors in our argument about, what were what he intend to receive? Did he expect it to elicit a sexual response? Would genitals be the focus? I mean, he requested, as you noted earlier, Judge Olson, he didn't request, bikini photos, topless photos. He very specifically requested naked photos, which is a DOST factor. And so to the extent that a judge wants to use the DOST factors as or the parties agree to use the DOS factors as the definition for lascivious when a fact finder is determining whether or not the individual intended to receive child pornography, I think that is how, DOS is a workable, how DOS would fit into this framework. But it's imperfect because, again, we don't have images, and in these sorts of circumstances, because it's an attempt and it's not a committed offense, we're not going to have images to actually look at. In this case, and I know I've said it a number of times, a legal sufficiency looks as to whether or not it was a rational trier of fact could determine, viewing the light most favorable to the government, drawing every reasonable inference in favor of the government, they could find that every essential element had been met. And in this case, appellant's words and actions showed that when he requested naked images from these three individuals, who he believed to be 12 to 13-year-old girls, when he sent that request. He specifically intended to receive child pornography in response. This court should uphold appellant's conviction for receipt of child pornography. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess I can, Judge Sparks, you mentioned you had a question about pain.
Yes. I want to know how your case is different or similar to.
Yes, Your Honor. In Judge Key in the dissent, the majority didn't talk about pain, but Judge Key, when he discussed pain, he recognized that pain is what he called the kind of the outer, it pushed the bounds of inferring specific intent.
So what did he mean? He mean that's as far as you can go in pain, and if there's anything different than that, it's too much, too speculative?
Yes, Your Honor, because like in this case, there wasn't any type of direction or specific request from the appellant about what kind of photo he was seeking. However, in that case, in pain, if you're trying to infer a specific intent, in that case, he actually sent a picture of his erect penis, and he actually sent a video of himself masturbating as he's making the request for naked pictures. And so in the standard review, that gives a little more to this court about.
So his view is, it's kind of similar to yours, I think, which is absent some extrinsic evidence, shall we say, or material evidence other than the circumstances. It requires too much speculation. Are you and Judge Keyes in the same mindset?
For this case, yes, Your Honor, that if all we have is this request for naked pictures and...
Remember now, you have more. I mean, I think Judge Stuckey has already pointed out that you have all these conversations going on. So there, it is a little more than just the request for the naked pictures. Would you not agree? I guess you don't, since you're thinking about it. You don't have to agree with me now.
And it's just that the circumstances surrounding it don't help this court find out the kind of, if he's indeed seeking images that would meet the specific definition of child pornography.
But, counsel, do you agree that the test is the totality of the circumstances here? Or are you arguing that that test shouldn't apply here in this specific circumstance of child pornography, that there should be an addition to the test or there should be some additional legal question that has to be asked beyond just the totality of the circumstances?
Your Honor, our position is that this court doesn't need to adopt a new test and call it totality of the circumstances, that this court can look at the, if there is a difference, the circumstantial evidence surrounding that request. But it should be related to his request and what he was seeking as opposed to his future conduct or something like that.
But you do agree that the question here is just could a rational fact finder have inferred from the evidence in the record that he was attempting to acquire child pornography? That he was attempting to receive child pornography. That is the question. Your argument is just that based on this evidence, it's just too big. There's just not enough there in the record to get to that conclusion.
Correct, Your Honor. Both for his specific intent and you know we address this in our reply, but just even that you know was this even a substantial step given the fact that he requested naked pictures. And there was no other direction to that. Were there circumstances that intervened that really would have made this crime be committed?
So you're not arguing that there should be, that we should create a rule that there should be magic language that needed to be used to acquire child pornography. It's just that that may have made the difference in this case, but based on the record that we have before us, there's just not sufficient evidence.
Yes, Your Honor. And so if in this case we had had Google searches or actual child pornography found on his computer or something like that, perhaps that would aid this court in finding that that's what he intended to receive, that that specific material. I see my time is up. May I conclude, Your Honor?
Yes.
And so in this case, given the fact that child pornography is litigated in this case and so many others, and there's so much analysis that goes into whether indeed an image is child pornography, we just do not have that in this case, and so this court should dismiss this particular specification with prejudice. Thank you.
Court thanks counsel for both sides. Case is now submitted. Court will be in recess until 09:30 tomorrow.